Today on Real Radio.
Somebody might say, are you meaning to tell me that the Bible is without error and perfect in the original language? Yep. Well, prove it. Okay. In Jerusalem at the Museum of the Book where the Bible is, you can see it. In fact, when the Dead Sea Scrolls were unearthed in 1948, this is cool. When they unearthed those things and they began to read them, they took an old King James Version Bible side by side. And guess what? Right on the money.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through the Gospel of John, chapter 14. This is a very Trinitarian passage where the Son speaks of the Father and the Holy Spirit. And now we come to the part where Jesus is saying that he is going away. His disciples don't completely understand what's happening, but we'll be finding out very quickly. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called The Perseverance of the Holy Spirit.
My faith's based upon fact. My faith is based upon the fact that Jesus said something and it's happened and it is happening and it's going to happen because he's never failed yet. My faith is based upon what Christ has said and his Bible. Faith found upon fact. You can put my faith, hopefully your faith, and put it into an experimental laboratory and you will be convinced it's true. Scientifically provable. But if you're an evolutionist this morning, I would like you to produce a transitional form. Now, if you're an evolutionist, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You got to show me something. Where's your faith founded upon fact? I believe in Darwin. He's dead. Yeah, that's because he's an animal like all the rest of us. Speak for yourself. Evolutionists say that we're just animals. If we're just animals, then people are going to murder and kill and mayhem and do whatever they want, and no one's going to care about the value of life. In fact, what they're really going to do is look out for number one, because that's all there is in their life. But you know what? You're hoping, listen, you're hoping that Christianity's wrong, aren't you? You're banking on the Bible being false. And listen, people will say, well, yeah, you know, you can't trust the Bible. There's got a lot of mistakes in it. Really? Will you show me one, please? In fact, show me one, and then why don't you become the most famous person that's ever lived? And the richest, by the way, because no one has been able to find a mistake in the Bible. Why? Because it's given by God. He's the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, who breathed the Word of God into existence by his prophets. You see, he used men to write it. Men didn't write it. He used men to write it. The word in the Greek is to possess them. The Holy Spirit possessed them when they wrote. That's how they wrote about the future. That's how they wrote about everything with perfect accuracy. Listen, 66 books by 40 different authors spanning nearly 2,000 years of time. And they all agree on one central message. They all speak about the same thing on a central message. And it's this: Jesus Christ is coming, or Jesus Christ came, or he's coming again. And the Bible says that he was going to die. The Bible says he died. And the Bible says he is alive forevermore. Amen. Listen, we're not here believing in fables. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God. And nobody can change that. Oh yeah, Pastor, if I had you in a room for 5 minutes, I will take my PhD and my master's and my doctorates and I'll eat you alive. It's not going to happen because I've already had that happen. I used to work with those guys. And I'm so glad I did. And everything comes down to, everyone including the atheist, comes down to a belief system. Everyone has their religion. Ours is in Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible. Yours? What? What is it? I guarantee you it's not as good as mine. Because mine's founded upon fact. The Holy Spirit has been with us, pursuing us always and alongside us and always there for us. He's faithful. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, the anointing which you have received from him who abides in you. That is a reference to the Holy Spirit. The anointing is an ability to learn and to know. It's divine. And you do not need that anyone should teach you, for that same anointing teaches you concerning all things. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. He teaches us everything. Say, what do you mean everything? Well, the Bible says that he teaches us everything, and here's the deal. Everything that God wants us to have from his word. Now, I have to honestly confess, the Holy Spirit takes, as Jesus said, the word of God and brings it to our remembrance. It's everything Jesus has said, everything that the Spirit has given by virtue of the word. Now keep this in mind. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, am I going too fast? I got to go fast because we have a long way to go. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, it says, know this first, that no prophecy, that's the utterance of the scripture, is of any private interpretation. That means none of us can make something up from the Bible. You can't do that. God says, I'm not going to do that. For prophecy, the giving of the word, never came by the will of mankind, but by holy men of God spoke as they were possessed, moved, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's powerful. That's why, and I love this, somebody might say, are you meaning to tell me that the Bible is without error and perfect in the original language? Yep. Well, prove it. Okay. In Jerusalem at the Museum of the Book where the Bible is, you can see it. In fact, when the Dead Sea Scrolls were unearthed in 1948, this is cool, when they unearthed those things and they began to read them, they took an old King James Version Bible side by side. And guess what? Right on the money. And what was called then the German School of Higher Criticism shut up. Because the truth was emblazoned worldwide. It's awesome. Look at science. Look at the world around us. Look at the Bible that says that the heavens declare God's glory. He says that the stars speak forth and the moon tell of his wondrous works. Did you see the moon last night, anybody? Wasn't it a wonderful night, warm and balmy, great? And I walked outside and I saw the moon out there in our western sky. It was setting in the early evening. It was amazing. My poor wife, you should be lucky you don't live with me. My wife, she's been sick, so that she's throwing up and all that stuff. And I said, you gotta come out here. You gotta see this. What is it? It's the moon. And now she's been with me long enough to know that she ought to come look. I mean, that's all I'm telling. I didn't force her. I didn't bend her arm. But she knows that something cool's going on. Well, my daughter comes out of the house. We're standing in the backyard at various exits of the house. We're at one door. Lisa comes out at another door. You know. And it was great because she's standing there and just, oh, praise the Lord. And we stood there. We stood there in silence. Why? Because of the moon? No. What the moon was telling me, that God's faithful. Amen. And he's glorious. And that moon setting in the western sky was just obeying him and all that it does. Did you know that? The sun came up today. Why? Because he said so. You think it's going to come up tomorrow? I'm planning on going to the beach tomorrow. Tomorrow's my day off. I'm going to the beach tomorrow. You see, my faith is founded upon fact. Because the sun will rise. Because my God's going to raise it up. Because I know that he's going to be there tomorrow for me. Now, if I don't see the sunrise tomorrow, something more better. I love when little kids say, I like it, more better. Something more better will have happened to me. And that would be, or mean, that I've gone home to be with Jesus. That would be great. That would be wonderful. What a hope we have, founded upon fact. The Holy Spirit confirms these things to us. And verse 26, to bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have commanded you or said to you. Aren't you glad about that? Christian, here's the deal. The Holy Spirit cannot and will not bring anything to your remembrance that you have not yet put inside. We are kind of like a perfect computer. The Holy Spirit, you can look at your Bible And you can go, all right, that's my Bible. You go, Bible. And it's nothing's going to happen to you. You can look at it. You can put it on your coffee table. You can get a big one and put it on your coffee table. Nothing's going to happen to you. You're not going to get smarter about the things of God. The Holy Spirit, you're going to say, he's not bringing anything to my remembrance. It's because you haven't put anything in. You got to put this in here. You got to read it. You got to eat the word, as Jeremiah said. Jeremiah said, I put it in my mouth. I ate of it. We got to eat this. And here's the promise. And man, I tell you, for most of you, this doesn't apply. But for older people like me, this is good news. I'm forgetting everything these days. But you know what? The more I use the Bible, the more I read it, the more he's faithful to bring it to my remembrance. You see, there's no clause in here that says he's going to bring it to your remembrance as long as you're under 43. No. Isn't it great? He promises, no matter how old you are. And I have learned that if we exercise the Word of God in our lives, it's just going to be happening. This gives me good encouragement. Because as the years wax on, if I stay in the Bible, I may get Alzheimer's in many other areas, but I am not planning on getting it regarding the Bible. Lord, you help me here. Keep these things in remembrance. And he's faithful to do that. Secondly, verse 27, we learn this, that he challenges us. The Holy Spirit challenges us. He's like a coach. You ever seen a faithful coach? He won't leave you alone. Most coaches, you hate them. Why? Because they're demanding that you do your best. He challenges. Jesus says, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And he goes on to tell us that it's a contrast regarding the peace of the world. Quickly, so we'll get it out of the way. This is the peace of the world. The peace of the world is this. Escapism. Escapism. That's the best the world can offer in the way of peace. And here's how it goes. You want to have peace and safety and comfort in your life? Then buy a lot or an estate in our gated community. Gated? Yeah, well, you've got to put a gate on it so you'll have peace. When you go to Bel Air and drive around there, what do you see? Nothing. It's all behind gates. Why? Because that's the only way those rich people and famous people can get peace. It's a piece of, listen, escapism. The world's going crazy and there's bad people out there. So you need to be peaceful. So we're going to build a fortress around you. That's not peace. That's isolation. That's loneliness. You see, Jesus says, and mark this. Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. Number two, my peace I give. This is cool. Because he said this on the night of his arrest. Did he know it? He knew it. Did he know what was coming? He knew what was coming. Did he know that he was going to be beaten and crucified? He knew it. What does he say? My peace I leave with you. It's not like he went like this. Okay, and he looks around for some like spare change, pulls it out of his pocket and says, well, I'm going to be going down a pretty rough road in a minute, so you better take my peace. Oh, no. No, he says, you know what? I got a rough road ahead of me. I'm full of peace. The peace that I have in the midst of this, I leave it with you. In fact, not only did I leave it with you, are you ready? I'm going to give it to you too. This separates Christians from the rest of the world. My heart breaks when I see people who are in the pursuit of other faiths. Maybe, you know, it's the way that they were brought up or whatever. But my heart breaks because I see friends and I see people that I meet who don't believe in the God of the Bible. They don't believe in Jesus. They don't have the promises of the Bible. They won't read it. Or their faith won't allow them to get near a Bible or touch it. They read other books. They have no deep peace. But isn't that what Jesus promised to those who trust him? Is this peace available to the entire world? It is. Are we saying this morning that we're somehow privileged and honored and somehow above the rest that we have it? No, we're humbled. And quite frankly, we have to get in the corner sometimes and giggle, as it were, that we have such glorious news given to us. Who are we? Answer, nothing, nada, niet. But the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us. So we humbly say, Lord, thank you. All along the way, the Spirit of God challenges us to have His peace. Do you have the peace of God? Yesterday, it's still the buzz around the church this morning. Gilbert, it's still the buzz today. When we celebrated the graduation of Gilbert's wife, Mary Ellen, into the presence of Jesus yesterday here. Most of our graduation services, I don't like to call them funerals because that's the last thing on earth that they are. Our commencement service for Mary Ellen, most of them last about an hour to hour and 15 minutes. At the 3-hour mark, people were still here talking about what God was doing. This place was packed. Nobody went home. God was honored. And I know she was blessed if she could know. Yeah, I don't know if Jesus whispered anything to her or what. I don't know. But she was honored yesterday because she wanted Jesus to be the front and center of her graduation service. You see, 6 months ago, the doctor says, you're dying of cancer. You have about 6 months. You're going to die. So Gilbert and Mary Ellen said, okay, thank you. Got it. And the doctor said, did you hear what I just said? You're going to die. Well, we heard you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, you told us that it's inoperable, that, you know, she's going to die. She hears you. We're here. We got you. And the doctor was really bummed because they didn't freak. But they know who Jesus is. He said, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I can handle that. My friend, then how are you living today? Do you go to church and then you go shoot up later to get the peace? Do you draw a line of coke and snort it to calm your nerves? Do you have a Bible in one hand and a martini in the other because that's what you need to get through this life? Oh, I can hear the letters now. You send them. Just give me a return address, will you? Put your hope in God. Because you know what? Budweiser is going to fail. Cocaine will fail. Everything will fail. God will never fail you, ever. But here's the funny thing. Is it not true? We don't really believe it until we're in a crisis. It's just the way our faith is built. We receive promises. That's all we're doing right now. We're receiving promises. Yes, they're from God. But frankly, they're just promises until the crisis hits. And then there's something. And the Christian knows this. When the news comes, or when the money's not there, or when the marriage is breaking up, do your kids have the hope? I don't know what's going to happen to mom and dad, but God's on the throne. You have better given your kids that hope. I have better given them that hope. Or whatever it is in your life. What news did you hear this week? What news will you hear this week? His promises are real. And the Holy Spirit daily speaks to us about that. He teaches us all things. He brings all things to remembrance. Quickly before we move on, this is a wonderful thought. Is the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to play along with me because I'm getting sleepy. Is the Holy Spirit alive?
Yes.
Is the Bible real?
Yes.
Did God write about the past?
Yes.
Did He write about the present?
Yes.
Yeah. Did He write about the future?
Yes.
Are you alive?
Yes.
Then that means He wants to do something. If all that's true, what's He going to do today? If He's given me the truth, He's teaching me, it means that every day of my Christianity ought not to be boring. It better be a challenge. It better be exciting. What's He going to do today? If He's alive and this word's true, what are we going to do today?
Well, we're going to go eat after the service.
Great. But what about the waitress or the waiter? Take your Bible in there and just plop it down and say, good morning to you. Praise the Lord. Freak them out. Put that Bible there. It's great, too. They're taking your order. They're going like this. There's your Bible, and they're going like this. They'll look at it like, whoa, what's it going to do now? You sure you want to put it there? Isn't it weird the Bible is just like, ooh, you know? Swear to God. It's powerful. Watch it, watch it. It's powerful than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide between the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Watch it. Man, it's amazing. Take it to brunch today. You'll see what happens. It is alive. God wants to do something. Every moment of our Christian life, we ought to be able to come to the end of the day, the end of our day today, and we should be able to say, I learned more. I learned something else about God today. Why? Because the Bible's true. I'm alive and the Holy Spirit's in me. Something should be happening. That's a great mixture for a divine explosion, don't you think? I think so. Our third consideration, and it's our final one this morning, is this, that he invites us. Verses 28 to 31. You've heard me say that I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice. Wow. Because I told you I'm going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And that's true. As long as Jesus was in the flesh on this earth, Jesus did the will of the Father and put himself subservient to the will of the Father. And now I've told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you might believe. I will no longer or not much talk with you from this time on. Why? Because the ruler of this world is coming. That's a reference to Satan. I don't know how that sits with you. The Bible says he's the ruler of this age. The Bible says he's the god of this world, little g. He's a usurper of authority. Do you know what that means? He sneaks into a place where he doesn't belong, and he acts like he's in control. Jesus says, the god of this world, he's coming, and he blinds the eyes of those who don't believe. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, blinds them. The Bible says that he's the prince of the power of the airwaves, of the atmosphere. Who? Satan. Is he powerful? Are you kidding? He could shred you in a minute, but he's not interested in shredding you. If you're not a Christian, he wants to blind you, make you dumb to the things of God. If you're a Christian, he can't do anything to you. Isn't that cool? In fact, if you read the book of Job, he's got to get permission to even mess with you. You are so protected by the Spirit of God that even in the life of Job, Satan had to go to God and say, hey, can I like mess with Job? You put a hedge around him, I cannot get near him. That's true about all those of you here that are believers.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, explaining just one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Great Comforter. It's a study taken from John chapter 14 and verses 25 through 31 called The Perseverance of the Holy Spirit. We'll continue with more as we journey through the Gospel of John on our next edition of Real Radio. Remember, you can hear the study again whenever you'd like and as often as you'd like. Just visit realradioactive.org. Once again, realradioactive.org. Find out about past studies here on Real Radio, as well as becoming a subscriber to our podcasting of the program, realradioactive.org. If you'd like to get in touch with us by telephone, just dial 909-393-7100. Again, our phone number here at Real Radio, 909-393-7100. Remember, Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and continues communicating the gospel on the radio across the land because of your tax-deductible contributions. We invite you to prayerfully consider partnering with us. You can send in a one-time gift, or you can become a regular contributor. Here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, if you weren't able to catch all of that contact information, just remember, you can easily locate it on our website, realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, California.